Welcome all board members. Take a seat at the table because it's time for another Faction Focus Report by Boardroom Gamer. And today, we talk about Lionkin. At the moment of creation, feral beasts roam the deep jungles of Ogmore on all fours. Their speed and strength were unparalleled as they slaughtered all around them in sport. For centuries, beings lived in constant fear of evisceration by these great predators. Growing bored with their prey, the beasts turned on each other, forming two prides. Their savagery reached a climax when the two alphas, Ari of the pride Kelsenia and Shishi of the pride Kota, mauled one another in the audience of their packs. In this vicious struggle, they fell from a waterfall into a divine pool below. The gleaming waters churned as bloody patterns danced across the surface. When the water calmed, the two figures emerged, each walking upright and enlightened. In their newfound wisdom, Ari and Shishi saw instability in the destruction around them. The two leaders then created a single Lionkin tribe known as the Collective. They abandoned their jungle homes and sought isolation in the desert. Through meditation and the sport of calculated physical contest, the Collective has been led to a peaceful existence. To enhearten their bodies and minds, cubs are encouraged to challenge one another in mock coliseums drawn in the sand between meditations. Parents watch eagerly as their young learn to best their opponents with a strategic pin rather than by fang and claw. It is by this method that Regulus honed his legendary skills. In recent times, the younger races have declared that they will not peacefully resolve their differences, but will rush blindly toward destruction. The Lionkin have no other option than to venture from their isolation and demonstrate the true power of divine inspiration and discipline. Through these values, any Lionkin is easily trained to wade through enemies unscathed. It is the duty of the Lionkin to be an example to the younger races who seek lazily to find fulfillment everywhere but in their own hearts. It is a deadly blunder for any soldier to swagger self-assuredly against the Lionkin, for every step reveals a calculated weakness to be exploited for the ultimate victory of the powerful Collective. A true pride indeed, as pride runs in their blood. The five Lionkin buildings are the Colosseum, Divination Pool, Temple, and as always, a Sea Dock and Airspire. Building the Colosseum gives the Lionkin player the following abilities. At level 1, for a recruit action, you may replace any one of your serfs with a warrior from your supply at no cost. Essentially, they learn the art of fighting while out in the fields gathering resources. Level 2, the recruit action changes where you may still gain the warrior using the level 1 ability, but you also get to perform the normal recruit action. So the serf could essentially replace itself or gain two warriors in the same recruit action. The pride multiplies. With a level 3 Colosseum, your armies are +1 strength for each desert region you control, with a max of 3. Be sure to make use of what would normally be a useless terrain. The Colosseum also allows you to summon Regulus the Gladiator. In combat, Regulus the Gladiator prefers the company of very few, but alone is truly a magnificent and terrifying sight to behold. His image alone strikes awe and terror in his enemies, who quickly realize the futility of fleeing. Their attacks land in vain against his impenetrable shield, and his sword falls on them swiftly as they scramble to hold under his onslaught. At level 1, Regulus gets +2 strength if battling alone. At level 2, your enemies may not play the retreat card. No escaping this guy. And level 3 will get you 2 victory points if Regulus wins a battle where your army had fewer units at the start of the battle. A true gladiator, through and through. Moving on to the Divination Pool, at level 1, it gives insight to your army, allowing it to march through desert regions without stopping, and gain one resource of your choice for each desert marched through. Pretty resourceful. With a level 2 pool, after you perform a cast action, gain one resource of your choice for each victory point the spell is worth. Again, resource thrifty. At level 3, each desert region you control at the end of the game is worth an additional victory point to a max of 6, so you can see the desert can be quite useful to the Lionkin. Tending to the divination pool would be the Oracle Ari. You can summon her once this building is constructed. Ari's superior wisdom beyond the Mirage Veil makes her a crafty strategist. Her legions are privy to her clairvoyance of the enemy's army's next maneuvers. With mystic intelligence, she can easily flank them into an unfavorable position. Once her prey is skillfully pinned, she releases her bestial might. At level 1, when the Oracle marches, you may select one region up to 2 spaces away and peek at the exploration tokens in that region before moving. All about the insight. At level 2, when you research, you may look at one random spell card of one enemy who has units on the same continent as Ari. Level 3, when Ari attacks, play 2 tactic cards and choose which to reveal after the enemy reveals theirs first. A superior tactician through visions and insights. Then there's the temple. At level 1, you collect one resource of your choice for each desert region where you have at least one unit. Super handy, as it doesn't have to be a serf to collect. Level 2, the temple states, towers in a desert region collect two resources of your choice, and level 3 simply strengthens all of your heroes by one force. Building this temple allows you to summon the monk Shishi. Shishi has given her life to the smoldering heat of the desert, developing a spiritual connection to the barren landscapes. Among the oldest in creation, Ogmore's desert spirits send visions to guide Shishi's tactical movements. On command, the spirits grant her a gust of desert energy and allow her transformation into dust so she can instantly appear to her comrades in need. At level 1, all desert regions are considered adjacent to Shishi. And with level 2, she can bring one unit with her along for the ride when she uses that level 1 ability. At level 3, Shishi gains 2 strength when a battle results from using the level 1 ability. The sea dock allows you to construct the longboat. Now, the longboat at level 1 gets plus 1 force if 2 units are aboard. At level 2, when the longboat ends a sail action on a shore region, any units aboard may perform one free march action. Level 3 states, if using the march action from level 2 ends in a battle, the army gets plus 2 strength in that battle. Movement is greatly improved with the use of the longboat. Then the air spire. That brings the glider into play. At level 1, when defending, before tactic cards are revealed, you may fly the glider and the units aboard it to another region, although this may not result in another battle. Upgraded to level 2, the glider allows you to gain one resource of your choice per unit aboard whenever it enters a desert region. And level 3 says when attacking, before tactic cards are revealed, you may move the glider and the units aboard up to one space to join the battle. You still cannot exceed the 5-unit limit. So to recap, the Lionkin are quite mobile, strong in numbers, and strong solo. But if I had to cite a weakness, it would be spellcasting and resource management. Sure, they can gather resources in the desert, but they're afforded no resource discounts, so everything is full cost to them, aside from upgrading serfs to warriors. But that's after a bit of investments. Get them into lots of fights, lots and lots of fights, early as possible, and you'll be sure to rule the day when you play Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea, the Lionkin, our faction focus for the day.